My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hi, I'm Pat Caputo. Welcome to Bustin' Balls. Hey, we do it about drafts. We do it about prospects. We do it about the future. I'm with the webmaster, the legendary Evan Jenkins. Don't forget to like us, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Tigers coming up with the draft here. They have the 11th overall pick. What are they going to do? The source of speculation is a couple young high school players. They're really tied into, from the people that are looking at this, to a left-handed pitcher named Cam Kmetty, who is a very athletic pitcher from Arizona, high school pitcher. He throws in the high 90s, touches the high 90s, is athletic, can play the outfield, do things like that. He's an LSU commit. And the only reason I mention him, because there's a lot of talk from people who know what they're talking about, that the Tigers have really been in on this kid, and that's who they're going to potentially draft. So if you're looking at mock drafts and they mention Cam Kmetty, that is somebody that they very well could draft, and they may very well be right. My thought process on it is, and I look at the baseball draft, Evan, and I never look at it for drafting for need. And this definitely would not be a draft pick for need. A high school pitcher, probably going to take a while. Look how long it's taken Jackson Jobe. People are waiting for that. There's a couple injuries. There are limited innings. Then there's a setback. And he's the best prospect in baseball. And pitching prospect. And he's not even close to the major leagues. How would this sit? I know one thing. It would be not well received from the fan base. At all, because they've totally lost patience and are freaking out at how bad the Tigers have been for so long. And second of all, really it would make sense if he's the real deal and the best pick there. Now, I don't look at it in the box of either way. I look at it like, who would I take? All right? Who would I take at 12th overall that might be available? And if they are, who would I select? And the first pick that I would select, if I were the Tigers at 11th overall and he's there, would be Connor Griffin, a shortstop. He's a high school shortstop from Mississippi. He is 6'3". He is extraordinarily fast. He's a freakish-like athlete. You say, well, he's from Mississippi. What's the baseball like down there? He plays at the premier program in that state, Jackson Prep. He would be the guy at 6'4", he's got a power arm. He throws 94 miles an hour from his position, runs under 6'4" in the 60-yard dash. And I look at that and I see a big upside. I see him having potential as a hitter. And he's the pick, if he falls to them, that would make the most sense to me. There's another high school shortstop who's not quite as athletic, but is a more refined player and has played at a higher level of competition. They all play at a high level of competition in the summer, but I'm talking about in the preps. And that's Bryce Rayner from Harvard Westlake High School in the L.A. area. And that is a school that has produced a lot of major league players. It's one of the premier prep programs in the country. And this kid, 6'3", he doesn't have the speed of Griffin or the raw talent. But he is a bit remindful, if he were to pan out, and this is a big if in the baseball draft, Evan, of Corey Sager. And the college player that I like the best for the Tigers at 11th overall, and I think this would be a great pick. You know, watching college baseball a lot this year, this guy stood out to me. It was Cam Smith, third baseman from Florida State. He is being projected to be taken in the teens, the early teens. Of course, the Tigers picking 11th. He's got real good bat-to-ball skills. He's strong. He's a bigger guy. He's an outstanding defender, very good defensively. And what I like about him is that he takes pitches the opposite way. That is something that I really, really like about Cam Smith, who would be third over, or who would, you know, to me be the third pick that I would take if he's available at number 11 for the Tigers. And just to go over a couple other guys, one of the players that I find to be intriguing and is a fast riser on this is a shortstop outfielder, Seaver King from Wake Forest. He's a guy I played at a small college for a couple years, filled into his body, gained speed and power, a very versatile athlete. He reminds me of a better athlete, but like kind of Austin Murphy, who was taken a few years ago. Really hasn't panned out from Vanderbilt, who I talked about when the Torkelson year happened. But I think this guy's a better athlete that way. And what I like about him is that when he used the wooden bat in summer leagues, he really, really raked. And he's got tremendous bat speed. And I project him as being maybe a tremendous major league hitter and a versatile athlete who can play short or the outfield. I think he's really, really good. Another player to put on this list I think you got to look at is a first baseman from Wake Forest. As you know, Evan, they have a great baseball program. Nick Kurtz. He's 6'6", 230 pounds. He's a left-handed hitter, big-time potential with power, but a very good athlete, a plus fielder. And to me, Kurtz is somebody that you look at because I don't think first base would be ridiculous to take somebody like that. I could see him, like Seaver King, moving pretty quickly, and he's got a lot of potential. And a great athlete, but not much production, but somebody who would be raw but a college player is Vance Honeycutt from North Carolina. Again, another great athlete. I always look at these guys athletically and what they can do. Cam Smith would be the one exception. He's not an exceptional athlete per se. He's good, but a more refined baseball player. So when I look at 11th in the draft, I understand the hype about committee. Caminiti, I think is how you pronounce his name, the left-handed pitcher, high school pitcher from Arizona. And I understand Connor Griffin for sure. If he's there, I'd take him in a heartbeat. High risk, high reward guy, but that's what you got to do in the draft. You don't want somebody that's going to be 11th and just kind of a half-ass player. So that's the way I would go in the draft.
Pat, do you think it's time that Major League Baseball opens it up to where you can trade your draft picks?
Yes, I do think that's something they should do. I don't know why they did it, but they're late on everything, Evan. They finally got around to the lottery when everybody really started to hate it. Baseball decided to go to the lottery, and look who's got the first overall pick. Cleveland, look at their record.
What a joke. I know. Well, and that was going to be my follow-up. Do you have any idea why they decided to outlaw that? Because I feel like everybody, like fans love the trades. I think teams would take advantage of being able to move certain picks in certain drafts where there's, you know, the Steven Strasburgs of the world that are out there and everybody knows that they're going to play right away. And, I mean, just think about the position that the Tigers could be in. Not saying that they would have done it, but if they could have traded 1-1 both those years that they had it, I bet your teams would have been calling them on it. And that, it's just odd to me that a professional team, you can't move those assets.
Well, it was never outlawed. It just never was part of what they've done. The baseball draft is, it started in 1965. All right. And since then, it has a long history of being really stupid. All right. I mean, just really dumb and the way they did things. When I was the Baseball America correspondent for the Tigers, I did that for like 20 years and I would do their rankings. For a long portion of that time, I think pretty much the whole time I did it, they would not announce the draft picks outside the first round. And one of my jobs was to try to figure out who the next four picks were in the draft. They wouldn't announce it because they were afraid that college baseball was going to steal away their prospects, which was ridiculous because college baseball knew who the top prospects were anyway. And it wasn't like baseball had some special magic sauce. But that's the way these, you know, rockheads were thinking a lot in baseball. They've always done stupid things like that. So the draft has been certainly part of that. Their lack of cooperation with college baseball is dumb because college baseball right now has become very popular. They show all the super regionals, the regionals. College play is all over various networks throughout the spring, and people follow it. So they need to do things like, hey, provide the college teams with wooden bats to help the expense, because college baseball revenue-wise, outside of the SEC and ACC, is not a big revenue producer. But if you look at those SEC stadiums, man, they're packed for games. You know, that's their baseball team. That's their major league team at LSU. That's their major league team in Mississippi at the two schools. And the Florida programs are huge. Tennessee, it's the same thing. So they need to get more cooperative with it. And part of it, too, is, like you mentioned, trading the draft picks. You know, Keith Law, you know, is somebody that, I don't know, he started trolling me because he wasn't in the Baseball Writers Association or something, and he couldn't vote for the Hall of Fame. I think that's what it is. I think they've now let those guys in justifiably. But it was like, you know, he would say, you know, all these different things. Then he started saying stupid stuff about Casey Mize. It didn't make any sense for somebody that worked in a major league front office. You could trade Casey Mize and the Yankees would pick him up, and by September he would be helping them win the World Series. He honestly wrote that stuff. Well, if this is a former front office executive saying this, the Tigers may have been able to fleece somebody out of that pick. Because Casey Mize wasn't, you know, somebody that was like Bryce Harper where you knew he was going to star right away.
Right.
You know, it wasn't one of those years. So if that option should be available to teams that they're going to do it, if they've got somebody stupid enough like the Yankees, which they're not stupid enough, but if Keith Law were running them, they would have traded the, you know, number one pick and, you know, maybe gotten, you know, somebody like that was a top prospect out of their system at the time. I don't know. Or maybe a major league regular. So right. it definitely should be in play.
Are there any quote unquote Bryce Harper types in this draft, Pat, that
no.
you see next year? Are these guys all going to be minor leaguers for a minute?
Well, no, I don't. Weatherholt from West Virginia had some issues, but he's going to probably be the player that moves the quickest, I would think. He's a shortstop from West Virginia. He's a very University of West Virginia. And he, to me, would be somebody that might move quickly. There'll be great players out of this draft, but the difficulty is in projecting them, you know. And there was a lot of power in college baseball this year where teams hit with a lot of power. And Condon from Georgia, who's a lot of people project as a number one pick, there's kind of a Spencer Torkelson element to that. You know, will it translate for a lot of these players that are being looked at the top of the draft when they get into professional baseball and use wood bats on a regular basis and see better pitching? The pitching at the particularly the high A level is so much better than college baseball that there often is a separation point even that early in the minor leagues with some of these guys. So it's hard to project that. No, the quick answer is no.
And now for fans, you know, this upcoming weekend with the draft, we're going to be talking about it come Monday morning. We're going to talk about this player as if we've watched every single one of his games, whether it was at high school or in college, and people are going to react or overreact one way or the other. But I would guess your advice to fans is, and I know they don't like it because you don't want to be patient, but you have to be patient with these MLB draft picks, to just kind of wait and see what happens with these young men, right?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
The only reason I bring that up, Pat, is because you're going to hear it throughout the end of this summer that Max Clark is in high A. Well, Wyatt Langford is out here hitting very well for the Texas Rangers. So every fan is going to put that in correlation to what is going to be drafted this year. And that's not fair to the player, and I don't think it's fair to Max Clark either, because they were two different players in a different spot in their career. So that's the reason why I bring that up.
Well, that draft will forever be tied to Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal. If the Tigers had taken Wyatt Langford, they would have had to pay more out of their slot value, and then they wouldn't have been able to give more money to McGonigal and select him. So you have two outstanding prospects for the Tigers who are younger. And McGonigal is more advanced as a hitter than Max Clark. So those two players, you know, if they turn out to be better than Wyatt Langford long-term as a combo, is going to be how that draft is going to be projected forever. I think Langford's terrific. I find a lot of the rhetoric, though, about him to be this false narrative. People were bringing him up early in the year, fans or whatever, some pundits at our station that I've heard. But while they didn't take Wyatt Langford, they could have had this hitter, all these things. And, yeah, that was a good point. But when Wyatt Langford was he had his OPS under 500, took like 200 at-bats to hit a home run over the fence, you know, then all of a sudden he never heard anything about it. Now that he's gotten a couple hits and he hit for the Cyclone again, all of a sudden his name is brought up all the time. So my point about it is that prospects, younger players are like stocks in the stock market. They go up and they go down. They go up and they go down, and then eventually you find out whether you're going to have a player that ultimately pays off for you. And there's going to be that effect with whoever they take in this draft. And it, like with Casey Mize and Spencer Torkelson, their stock as minor leaguers couldn't have been higher.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been higher. And does it pay off? No. Tarek Skubal was taken in the 10th round. Then all of a sudden he flashed and his stock went up, but he also had a point where his stock went down a couple times. And it's the same with Riley Green. And these are two of the top 15 players in Major League Baseball now, according to wins above replacement. So, and will they stay there? Their stock will keep going up and down until it's really established what they are truly as major leaguers. So, but Torkel's or Skubal probably has established that. He's 27 and dominant, legitimately dominant. Riley Green, he's still in that stock, goes up and down, and even though he's been at the major leagues for a while. So that's how it works. And ultimately, if the Tigers had Langford, this is how it could turn out, and he was pretty good for them, but just about the time they started to get good, you know, he's already arbitration eligible, all these things. And, you know, Clark and McGonigal's time frame may fit them better. You know, it's just, yeah, that's why I say anybody would say you got to kind of wait and see on those things.
And I don't know if you agree with this or not, Pat, but this is something that I firmly believe in. Not all players are created equal, meaning what they do in Texas, they may not be doing the same in Detroit or vice versa, meaning there's different coaches, there's different philosophies, there's different teammates, there's everything that goes into it. So just because he's producing there in Texas right now doesn't necessarily mean he would be doing the same thing here in Detroit. And I know that's
he would have. You know, he's a good player. You know, that debate is a legitimate debate about Wyatt Langford, because Wyatt Langford got into – he was great at LSU, got into professional baseball with hardly any coaching and started raking right away. That wasn't a coincidence at all. So, you know, it could be that. You know, in Texas, you have failures and you have things. Like Texas took Jack Leiter. He hasn't been that good. You know, and so there can be – it's about the player you take and the odds. The odds in baseball aren't like the odds in football. There's too often that people correlate the two sports. They do that with hockey, too. We've talked about that a lot. It's a whole different dynamic to it. So the Langford-Clark thing could McGonagall thing could turn out to be like the greatest moves ever by the Tigers, or it could turn out to be they passed on a great play in Langford for a couple of average players. I don't know. What I've seen so far of Clark, I like. He's got good bat-to-ball skills. He's really tough out when there's runners in scoring position. He gets a lot of RBIs where he finds the ground. He hasn't really developed that oomph in his swing yet, you know, where he's going to drive the ball. But he has the elements to maybe do that, and he's outstanding foot speed, and he's a very good defender already with an extraordinarily strong arm. McGonagall is an advanced hitter, and the Tigers should have both those guys in high A ball. That's where they should be. They should be playing in front of crowds in more of an environment. That's what it's going to be like in the major leagues than playing in the humidity in the middle of summer in front of family and friends in these massive spring training ballparks in Florida. So, and they need to see better quality pitching at this point. I've been watching their games quite a bit, because they've actually had those games on MILB.com this year. And the pitching in the Florida State League is horse shit. It really is.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. And I can say horse shit on our podcast, and I can't say it on the radio, which I just wanted to say horse shit. It's a great baseball term.
Yeah, it's like brings me back to Jim Leland yelling at Barry Bonds in that famous video.
Yeah, there you go. That was good. I've had enough. I like it when he drops his glove and his bat and gets in his face and says, "I've had enough now."
Oh, yeah. Don't give me that shit.
We're gonna get this out of the way. We're gonna get rid of it right now. We're gonna do this, and that's the way it's gonna be. That was clear. And then they show the clip on the YouTube thing where he's sitting there. And he goes, "I'm the goddamn manager of this team."
Oh, it's so good. It's so good, Pat.
Oh, that's why he was a classic manager. So, but, you know, the draft is going to be interesting. I like it a lot. But, you know, again, Evan, what we do on this podcast, and I'll say this to everybody, this is where we can get into the nuance of things. When I'm on the air after the games, or I'm on the air on the weekends before the games, I am not in a position where I can go over this stuff, you know, in detail, like this conversation we're having. I get a lot of questions. A lot of times it's like, because people know I'm into this and have been around it for a long time, this is my opportunity to really speak about it. So if you got some comments or whatever, reach out to me one way or another, Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter or X now. Facebook and the accounts that we have. Or just leave comments. I'll try to check in more on what's going on, where we're at, the Google Play Store, the Apple iTunes Store, Odyssey.com, for what you want to know about this. I try to explain these things in detail and give you more of an insight of what is actually going on for maybe somebody that's been around it a little more and studied it more than the, like Evan talking about, the simplistic things of like, hey, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't do this or that when it comes down to the draft. So, and we're a good combination on that because Evan asks a lot of questions. And they're good questions that come from a fan-based thing. So that's why we do it this way. So enjoyed doing this. Enjoyed talking to you. Like us. Subscribe to us. Download us. We appreciate you. Pat Caputo 98 on X. And I don't know, Evan, what is it, the king of the gym men or whatever?
Gem Mint Jenkins.
Gem Mint Jenkins. There you go. I had the king of the KFC, but not that anymore.
So, nope.
Till next time, we'll talk to you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.